tonight. Thank you, because once again, our gathering is for the better. Our lives are changed and transformed by your word and the power of your spirit. Thank you, because our eyes once again are open to see as they should, our ears hear, and our hearts are positioned and aligned to receive. Thank you, oh God, because your power is present to touch our lives, to transform our lives. Thank you, oh God, for an atmosphere of faith and power. Thank you, because together we comprehend and participate effectively. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, because we all live better than we came. We give you all of the praise in Jesus' name, and amen. Hallelujah. All right, greet one or two people and then you take your seat. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 122 and verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, amen, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. And so it must always gladden your heart. What are the things to gladden your heart? It's okay. What are the things to gladden your heart? The fact that God is present, amen. The fact that believers, amen, are also present. In other words, a church meeting is a believer's or a family meeting. You leave something on? A believer's meeting, a family, amen. And God meets with his children, amen, every time we come together. That means there are things to receive. Hallelujah. There are things to receive. Okay. We can say many things. The worship of God alone should bring gladness to your heart as well. Hallelujah. So lastly, if I show up in church and there is an assurance that I will be better than I came, then that should be enough to spring up or stir up gladness in my heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let me move on to say to you that endeavor to feed your faith regularly. Endeavor to do so. Church meetings are to put our attention on spiritual things. Okay? The world we live in, okay, has many things. I don't want to start out by saying distractions, but has many things. It can be a fleshly world, it can be a mental world, it can be a it can be all sorts. All right? In other words, we readily have things that call for our attention in this world. And therefore, church meetings are God's wisdom to help us to keep our focus on spiritual things that cannot be readily seen. Amen? And that's important. So it means that your effort, how much of effort you put into feeding your faith, must be extra. If there are a lot of things calling for your attention, let me use an example. Okay? You are watching TV, and then they're supposed to tell you something that will help your business. So imagine it's supposed to be something that you need about $50,000 to buy. Maybe that's too much. Maybe $10,000 to buy, right? That will improve and help your business. And then you cannot afford it. And then someone says that there will be a 1 hour program, right, that you sit before, okay? And then within that 1 hour, it's just going to be put out to you. And if you are attentive enough, if you catch it, then it's yours. Then if not, then it's gone, all right? So it means you have to sit down and be attentive. So when someone wants to talk to you, you consciously keep your gaze, right, on the screen. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, that's one illustration I can use to say what I want to say. The other part of it will be the extra effort, okay, that you must put in. Things are calling for your attention. We can use the same illustration. Maybe the screen is in a viewing center, and then there's noise everywhere, and then you have to consciously ensure that you keep your gaze on the screen so that you can get what you came for. All right? So there must be that conscious effort, knowing that there are other things calling for your attention. There must be that conscious effort that you make to ensure that your faith is fed daily. Amen? You know, so if you wake up and you just say, Father, bless me today, improve me in all I do, plus Jesus minus Satan. Amen. Is that effort at all? Okay? It probably doesn't even qualify for effort to then say extra effort. Amen? So feed your faith regularly. Okay? Feed it daily. Ensure that your faith is strong. Let me move so that because I have quite a number of things to say to you today, so that we are not cut short. So in Matthew 17, if we're going to read, we will not read from verse 14. Okay, just 14 to 20 in your note. But the background to the story, I'll just go ahead to read 20. But the background to it is that there was a boy, lunatic, vexed with the devil, and then he often fallen into fire and into water, right? And they brought the boy to disciples of Jesus to cure him, but they couldn't. And Jesus came and said to them, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him either. And then Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil departed from the child, of course, and he was cured that very hour. And then disciples in verse 19 asked him why they couldn't cast the devil out. Now, 20, this is what Jesus said to them. Because of your unbelief. Okay, unbelief can simply refer to the absence of faith or inoperative faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, or ye have faith, as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Amen? So Jesus says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you must have heard this, that a mustard seed is so tiny that one of it you may not be able to see with your eyes. Okay? So you need a cluster of mustard seeds. A heap of it. A bunch of them. To be able to then see them collectively. Right? One of it is so little, very minute. Okay? And then Jesus then says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You know, we can say, if you have faith so little as a mustard seed, as long as it is faith. As long as it is faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, amen? So it means that there is an attitude to faith. There's a way faith responds to life's issues. There's a way faith confronts mountains. Mountains can depict problems, challenges, you know, tough situations, and so on and so forth. So if you have it as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say. So of course, faith speaks. Faith speaks to mountains. Faith challenges mountains. Faith challenges that which is contrary to God's will. If you have faith so little, just minute faith in the word of God, you will challenge issues. You will challenge mountains. Amen. You will challenge that which is contrary to the word of God. And what will you say? You will say, remove to yonder place, and it shall remove. Glory to God. It shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible to you. So it means that with faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. Does that make sense? With faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. Of course, if we're going to go further, saying it the way Jesus said it, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible to you. Hallelujah. Of course, that's the faith of God. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. They had wondered how he was able to speak to a fig tree and it dried up. He obeyed the words of Jesus and dried up. And that was his first response to them. Have faith in God. Or like the scholars will say to us, have the God kind of faith. Or have the faith of God. Amen. So we can say that Jesus was saying, if you have the faith of God as little as a grain of mustard seed, you will challenge mountains. Glory to God. Isn't that exciting? You will challenge mountains. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the key to this is to feed that faith. To feed it. Faith is that you believe or that you rely on something. So in other words, Jesus was saying, if you agree with God just a little bit, you will challenge mountains. Amen? So faith, don't look at it like some odeshi in your pocket or some charm, right? It is your belief, your dependence, your reliance, your assurance in the truth of God's word. So Jesus was saying, believe God a little in his word, you would have the boldness, the confidence to challenge mountains. Praise God. So if you feed your faith daily, then you will be able to challenge mountains in life and ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let me speak a little in the area of healing. Still charging you, amen, to feed your faith. Genesis 20:17. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. Of course, you know the story. Abimelech had taken Sarah, Abraham's wife. He referred to her as his sister. Of course, he didn't want to die or be killed. And by saying he was her husband. And then God showed up and closed their womb and spoke to Abimelech to return Abraham's wife. And then, after he had done that, then Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. Amen? Praise God. So, if you look at this, what must be pronounced to you in this verse is the character of God towards sickness. What he wants to do is to heal. But it was because of what Abimelech did that resulted to that sickness and brought it upon his household and his maidservants and all of that, but God healed them. Amen?
Amen?
So God's character is to always heal. God's character is to always heal. In Exodus chapter 15, I'll just run through so that we can move as quickly. I'll read the B part, Exodus 15 and 26. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He introduces himself as a healer. Exodus 23 and verse 25 to 26. Exodus 23, 25 to 26. I'll just read the parts that we want to highlight to put our attention on God's character where healing is concerned or towards sickness. 25, 26 says, "Shall the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast thee a young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill." Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 7:15. "And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." Again, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Hallelujah. He will take away all sickness. Not some, all. Hallelujah. All. Then he says, "We'll put none of the evil diseases of Egypt." None. 2 Kings 20. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5. "Turn again and tell Ezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee." Hallelujah. On the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 20. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 20. "And the Lord hearkened to Ezekiah and healed the people." Glory to God. He healed the people. Of course, in verse 21, "And the Levites and the priests praise the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord." Psalm 103 and verse 3. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Who? That's the Lord, right? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?" Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies?" Psalm 107 and verse 20. Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. Glory to God. And delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalm 147 and verse 3. Psalm 147 and verse 3. Almost there. Yep. He healed the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. It says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Okay? So the Lord that we have read about in the Old Testament writings is manifest in the four Gospels. And we yet want to continue reading about him. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Matthew 4 and 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing what? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Amen. And look at verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And what did he do? He healed them. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. From verse 2 to verse 3, Matthew 8, 2 to 3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Of course, a leper is one who is considered an outcast according to the law of Moses. The priest certifies him to not dwell among the people. And of course, when he gets healed, it is the priest that certifies. Amen? Him. All right? So, he says, "Will you make me clean?" Then Jesus put forth his hand, hallelujah, and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He not only healed him, he touched him. He did what the law said that men shouldn't do or couldn't do to the leper. Because when you touch the leper under the law, you become unclean. Hallelujah. He was willing to heal. He touched him and then cleansed him. Hallelujah. Same Matthew chapter 8 and verse 7. And of course, from verse 6, the centurion came to him saying, "Lord, my servant lied at home sick," that's verse 6, "of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, what? I will come and heal him." Glory to God. In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. Matthew 12 and 15. Oh, where are you? Matthew 12, yeah. And 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence And the great multitudes followed him. And what did he do? He healed them all. Hallelujah. He healed them all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He healed them all. And you know, he withdrew himself because, look at verse 13. Then said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored whole with that hand, like as the other. Of course, they accused him of healing on Sabbath and all of that. And he withdrew himself and continued healing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Permit me to say he's obsessed with healing. Permit me. Amen. Glory to God. They followed him and he healed them all. Glory to God. That's the character of God. Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. We're just jumping here and there to see where the Bible speaks about God's character and willingness towards sickness and towards the sick. Acts chapter 4, right? And verse 30. The disciples of Jesus or the apostles were persecuted for preaching, and they went to their company and of course prayed. Now, this was within their prayer. Verse 30. It says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is healing. The name of Jesus is healing. The name of Jesus is healing. He has the authority to heal. The Father has given Jesus all authority to heal every sickness, every disease, and every infirmity. Every demon of darkness, every spirit of infirmity listens to Jesus and submits to him. They obey him. In Mark chapter 5, the madman from Gadara, he saw Jesus and came to pay homage. Of course, the demons had to submit. And says, so come out of him. Hallelujah. Thou unclean spirit. Okay, and then he asked him his name and all of that. Where are we? Acts 4:30. Acts 9:34. Acts 9:34. Peter with the disciple Aeneas. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Peter preaching in the house of Cornelius, and he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, hallelujah, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God anointed Jesus to set free everybody under the influence of the devil in their bodies. To set free, to heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases. His will is to heal. His will is to cure. His will is to drive out devils. His will is to set men free. His will is for every man to live a healthy life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're not exempted. Amen. We're not exempted. Healing is for us every day. The Father is willing. The Father is willing to restore health, to bring health and cure. Amen. Amen. His character is to heal. And therefore, you must feed your faith daily to be able to receive healing, to be able to minister healing. His will is to heal. He looks for every avenue and excuse to heal. So you will feed your faith well enough that no demon, no fear, no doubt hinders you from receiving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, our God is a healing God. Our Christ is a healing Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's switch miraculously to the subject of angels. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Amen? Amen. And then verse 21 says, bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. All right? So in verse 20 and verse 21, the psalmist speaks about, that's a psalm of David, he speaks about angels. He speaks about angels. Let me go this route before I go to Hebrews chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would look at it from verse 8 to 10, you find the gifts of the Spirit, right? It starts with word of wisdom, then word of knowledge, then gift of faith, gifts of healing, then working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits. Amen? Now, that gift, discerning of spirits, is a gift that discerns spirit beings. Okay? That how do I say this now? Simply put, it discerns spirit beings behind operations. Spirit beings in atmospheres, spirit beings behind operations. Okay? So, spirits, God, of course, and the Holy Ghost. Angels, the angels of God, they are spirits. Demons, fallen angels, they are spirits. And then man. Okay? Of course, you know it is not a suspecting spirit or a suspicious one. No, it's to discern spirit beings, to discern the persons or spirits behind operations. Glory to God. Behind operations. Activities occurring, and then discerning of spirits helps you to tell who is behind. Glory to God. Of course, you know the gifts of the Spirit are given to bless, so not just to be suspecting here and there and say, this person has this person has that. When you see a light lady, you say she has something spirit and all of that. No. Okay? So it means that if God wants us to discern, there are activities that are as a result of spirits. Okay? There are operations, activities that are fueled by spirits. That there's a being behind them. There's a supernatural being behind those activities. All right? Angels are supernatural beings. Not beings, not B-A-N-S. All right? I believe you know that. Amen. Okay? They are spirit beings. They are supernatural beings. And so, they function such that activities take place in the earth. So there are things they do. Look at verse 20 again. It says, they excel in strength that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So the word of God voiced commands angels to act. And don't forget what he says. He says they excel in strength. Hallelujah. So they are beings of power. Hallelujah. They excel in strength. That do his commandment, hearkening to the voice of his word. And thankfully the psalmist says, that's David, that they hearken to the voice of his word, not the voice of God. So it means that if man, if you and I can give voice to the word of God, hallelujah, angels hearken. Angels will obey. Angels will flow. Hallelujah. It says, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. Still referring to the angels, not hosts of saints. Ye his ministers. Still referring to the angels that do his pleasure. That do his pleasure. That do his pleasure. Amen. So what do angels do? They do his pleasure. Hallelujah. They do his pleasure. What God wants to be done, they do. What God wants to be done, they do. Of course, the devil, Satan, and his host, demons, they are fallen, and therefore they do contrary to God's pleasure. Amen. That's why they oppress, they torment. Glory to God. But the angels of God do the pleasure of God. They do the pleasure of God. Now, run to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 verse 7, not chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. Where are you? Okay. Hebrews 1 and verse 7. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? So, still referring to the angels. The same way in Psalm 103, David referred to angels as God's ministers. Okay? His ministers, a flame of fire. A flame of fire would describe their appearance. Okay? Ezekiel will help us in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 27. Are you in church? Ezekiel 1 and verse 27. And I saw as the color of amber and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about him. Ezekiel describing an angel. Flames of fire, his ministers, flame. He says, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers flames. A flame of fire. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? Glory to God. Ministering spirits. That is, they are created to minister. To minister, ministering spirits. That's why they are called ministers. Ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Sent forth to minister for them, hallelujah, who shall be heirs of salvation. Heirs of salvation will simply refer to those who will inherit, those to whom the promise. Hallelujah. And that looks like you and I, right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Them who shall be. Now we are. Glory to God. So they are what? Sent forth to minister for. Glory to God. To minister for. To minister for. So again, angels, spirit beings, ministering spirits, described as a flame of fire. Their appearance. Their appearance. Glory to God. They are powerful beings. And they minister power. They excel in strength. Says they're acting to the voice of his word. So, a lesson there to give voice to the word of God. To give voice to the word of God. Don't join the media. Don't join, neighbors. Don't join people to declare hardship over your life. Hallelujah. Say, oh, Nigeria is this, Nigeria is that. I enjoy the good of the land. Amen. And then an angel is excited, rejoicing, going around to make something happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we give voice to God's word, then we see angels in operation. Well, maybe I should not say we see, because you don't have to see. It's good to see, praise God. We have angels in operation when we give voice to the word of God. They are beings created to minister for and minister to believers. They are created for men. They are created to serve men. They are created to minister for man, minister to man, minister for believers. Glory to God. And when we say minister for, we are saying that the believers have authority in Christ. And therefore, angels minister for them as they give voice to the word of God. As they give voice to the word of God. Glory to God. So, Hebrews 1:14, that's exclusive. Those that shall be heirs of the minister for them, they are servants to believers. Revelation 19 and 10. In that chapter, it was an angel the Apostle John saw. And then he bowed to worship. And then the angel said, no, don't worship me. Worship God. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. That's what the angel said. Fellow servant. Glory to God. Your fellow servant. I believe that's how it was crafted. Amen. So they are for us. Say angels are for me. I want to say angels are for me. Say angels are for me. Hallelujah. Angels are for me. On the road. On the sea. In the air. Angels are for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Angels are for me. Hallelujah. I have the angels of God around me. Amen. There's such a thing also called minister to. Their ministry, of course, is towards man, towards every man. They are designed to serve men. They are designed to serve men. They were created, they were made by God to serve men. So they serve. I'm looking for how to put it so that someone doesn't say, okay, we are saying that angels don't answer to God. They only answer to men. God made them so that he can use them to minister for and to man. So that he can use them to minister to man. Hallelujah. Luke 22:43, Jesus was praying before his death, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Hallelujah. Strengthening him. He was in prayer, an angel appeared to him and strengthened him. Glory to God. That's their work. That's their job. So if they are created to serve, then their role is to help and to assist. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm trying to remember, I try to be careful and not to say stories that are unverified, but I think I have two in my head, but I'm not sure which. I mean, let me just say it. Let me describe it. I'm not too sure which is which now, but let me describe the scenario of one. I think it was a preacher of the gospel. Lost something like a nail cutter or a penknife, but it was there to him. Searched everywhere, didn't find it. Searched everywhere. I told two stories that are jamming in my head. I don't know how I'll conclude now. You know, and didn't find. Then one day the thing just dropped on the bed. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there?
Yes,
sir. I say, I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. What are they to do? Are they supposed to be preparing for food? They're supposed to do things of power. Amen. Glory to God. That's why I tell you, I was taught to do so too from years back. Anytime you lose something, first of all, say, I do not suffer loss. Hallelujah. The angels of God are working to ensure that what I have lost comes back to me. Hallelujah. I do not suffer loss. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Except the Bible is a fairy tale. Cooked up story for us to be excited about. And of course not. Amen? So they help, they assist. They protect. They help to provide. They assist to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, a man of God can stand in front of a 10,000 congregation, gathering of saints, and he can minister to each one of them by the help of angels. Amen? You can have a million people gathered to receive from God through a minister, and then that minister can minister to each one of them by the help of angels. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. By the help of angels. They are beings of power that minister power. Hallelujah. So, we can call angels the power of God around us. God's power around us. You know, by the gospel, by the Spirit of God, there's power in us. Hallelujah. But there's power around us as well. The angels of God. The power of God around us. Psalm 91. I wanted to say something when we were reading Hebrews. But I shall be able to. Okay, let me just say a bit because I prepared that we'll read a few things. I will try. If you read the book of Hebrews, particularly chapter 1, chapter 2, it began with this argument and juxtaposition between the Son of God and angels. And there's a reason for that. Because anyone who held the scriptures in high esteem cannot miss the activities and the authorities of angels. And the authority of angels. The kind of authority and power that they wielded. Amen? In reading the scriptures. You run through the scriptures. Let me see if we can do that briefly. In Genesis 16 and 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. In the same chapter, verse 9, the angel of the Lord said to her, the angel said, In verse 10, the angel of the Lord said to her. In verse 11, the angel of the Lord said unto her. Hallelujah. Amen. In Genesis 19 and 1, there came two angels to Sodom at even. Ah. There came. Praise God. Location. Sodom. There came. Ah. Except the Bible is not true. I believe the Bible is true. Amen. 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 In Genesis 19 and 15, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife. Or is it Fabu? Hallelujah. Genesis 21 and 17, God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. Genesis 22, 11. That was Genesis 21, 17, Genesis 22, 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Angel spoke, Abraham responded. We are supernatural beings. Hallelujah. We are supernatural beings. Fellowshipping with supernatural beings are not far-fetched, not demons. Praise God. Those ones, we drive them out. We command them. We instruct them. Genesis 22, 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham the second time. It's not fake. It's not that he was hallucinating or daydreaming. Second time. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Genesis 24 and 40. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee. And prosper thy way. Genesis 31 and 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream. Genesis 32 and 1. And Jacob came or went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Oh, glory to God. Exodus 3 and 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Out of the midst of a bush. That's to Moses. Exodus 14 and 19. And the angel of God went, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Exodus 23 and 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee. To keep thee in thy way, hallelujah, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Exodus 32 and verse 34. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And we can go on and on. In the King James Bible, you find the word angels over 100 times, about 109 times. In the Old Testament writings. In the New Testament writings, about 180 times. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the angels of God were not silenced. In the New Testament. It wasn't that Jesus had not died. And so therefore God used angels a lot. Amen?
Amen.
The angels of God function more. Amen. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, verse 24. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and spoke to him. Spoke facts. Matthew 2:13, referring to the angel of the Lord that appeared unto Joseph. And when Herod that wanted to kill the king that was born, kill Jesus, was dead, an angel appeared again. The king is dead. And we can go on and on and on. Psalm 91 and verse 11. So what I was trying to say from Hebrews 1 is that if you read through the scriptures, you cannot miss the presence of angels and their activities. So they are esteemed characters in the scriptures. So much in chapter 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every translator received a just recompense of reward. Hebrews 2 and 2, the writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Verse 3. Psalm 91, are you there? Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Psalm 34 and verse 7. Psalm 34 and 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Daniel 6:22. Daniel 3:28, Daniel 6:22. In Acts chapter 5 and verse Acts 5 and verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Opened. Then brought them out. Then spoke and they heard. Go, stand and speak all the words of this life. Amen, amen.
Amen.
And I'm sure you noticed that, or maybe you didn't notice that in verse 21, he didn't say, and they woke up from their sleep and realized it was a dream. No? Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Acts 12. In Acts chapter 12, Herod had taken James, killed him. James, the brother of John. James, John, the sons of Zebedee. He had taken James and killed. And then he saw that he pleased the Jews. And he proceeded further and took Peter. Was there for that to take Peter also? And then if you look at it from verse 7 to 11, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. Hallelujah. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from his hands, beams of power. And the angel said, so angel came, displayed his presence, smote Peter, spoke to him, and said, gird thyself, bind thy sandals, and so he did, and said unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Hallelujah. You know, we must not, what we must be doing must be journeying towards a stronger consciousness of who we are and not denying our reality. There are some things that happen that you think it was just coincidence. No. No. Do you know the amount of times angels have held your bike? Amen? Do you know? Do you know the amount of time? Do you know the number of people that some people wanted to do them evil, but they could not see the person? And angels just stood in between them. Praise God. What's that thing that they do in movies? Is it CGT? Is a supernatural something. An angel will just stand and not see you again. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 22. The Bible tells us that we have come to an innumerable company of angels. We have come to an innumerable company of angels. The angels that God created. You know, they don't grow, they don't reproduce. Remember? Matthew 22:30. They are the angels of God. There's no man. So, God has created them. Amen? They are like that. Beings of power. Ready to serve. Let's not talk about the number. Hallelujah. So, there are more than enough angels. And he says, we have come to an innumerable company of angels. We can see them by supernaturally granted appearances or sights. When the angel came to Peter in the prison, light shined. Ezekiel saw. Moses, burning bush on the mountain. We can be granted the privilege to see. And we can also, without seeing, have them in operation. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So, an angel can walk into a meeting and we're able to see. Praise God. And that's to stir up our consciousness. Stir up our faith and our boldness to be able to receive from God. To be able to receive from God. Amen? How about trusting the Lord for fresh fire and just see an angel there? Flame of fire. That means there's fire. Glory to God. Glory to God. So what must you do? You must be conscious of God's word and regularly give voice to it. That is most important. Because angels are bound to attend to the voice of the word of God. So what would you do? What will I do? Stay in an atmosphere of faith. Put the word of faith in your mouth. Put the word of God in your mouth. And what will happen? Angels will respond in power. 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 Hallelujah. Enough of trying to be everywhere at the same time. God can take care of business at home while you're away. Amen? Amen. We have his word. We have power in us. We have power in... Oh, God. We have angels. We have... Praise God. Hallelujah. There's power around us.
Power.
Hallelujah.
Power.
There's power around us.
Power.
There's power around us.
Power.
We're always protected.
Power.
We are shielded from the enemy. There's power around us.
Power.
There's power around us.
Power.
There's power around us.
Power.
I have angels
power.
Ministering for me.
Power.
I have angels
power.
Strengthening me.
Power.
I keep going. I have all that I need. There's power around me. Hallelujah. Let's just pray.